Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
I will be speaking from the statement in Acts 4:29, which says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Obviously, the statement is to me because they address the Lord, right? I am the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. So Acts 4:29 expresses a specific will of the Lord. And what is that will of the Lord? That which is desired of the Lord to do, it is to behold their threatenings. Now, declaration of an intention or determination to inflict punishment, injury, etc., in retaliation for or conditionally upon some action or course. A threat is a menace. As in the statement, he confessed under the threat of imprisonment. A threat is a person or thing, a person or thing that threatens. Now, as we begin with, I make the statement here, we know that Christianity is a concoction of the Gentiles. My observation, having to do with the threats. The Gentiles use Bible statements and passages to induce other people to profess Christianity. With certain Bible statements and passages, the Gentiles threaten people into professing Christianity. The Gentiles use Scripture to induce others to profess Christianity. That is, the Gentiles' use of Scripture to induce others to profess Christianity is not right. Those who have professed Christianity under such conditions have done so under duress. They have been coerced into professing Christianity. I say again, the Gentiles' use of Scripture to induce others to profess Christianity is not right. The book of the law in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 10, speaks to the matter, saying, evil and their force is not right. The Gentiles' course, which is Christianity, is evil, and there the Gentiles' force, which is coercion, is not right. So then, the law says that which the Gentiles do to induce others to profess Christianity is simply not right. The Gentiles' use of force, coercion, to induce others to profess Christianity condemned by the authoritative word of the AVB, that is, the Authorized Version Bible, and that authoritative word is Jeremiah 23, verse 10. The authoritative word in Jeremiah 23:10 speaks against the course of Christianity, saying it is evil, and the authoritative word speaks against a tactic of Christianity, coercion, a tactic used by the Gentiles, saying it is not right. Coercion is not right. Use of improper force, that is. It is an evil. Now remember this, the Authorized Version, the authoritative word says, depart from evil. The evil has been identified. The evil is the evil of religion, the evil of Christianity. Depart from evil. It is apparent that the Gentiles have taught their proselytes to follow them, the Gentiles, in their evil. Again, the word says, depart from evil. Now, I have obeyed the authoritative word and departed from evil. I have departed from religion. I have departed from the evil of Christianity. I have spoken about the course of Christianity. I have spoken about its evil force, coercion. Now I will identify statements and passages they, the Gentiles, misuse and abuse to accomplish their evil desire. For that is what the will of the Lord asks of me. In the Acts chapter 4, verse 29 statement, which says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. I began first with the statement the Gentiles use. That statement is John 3:16. And I'm turning to it. Okay. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a scripture the Gentiles use. That is a scripture the Gentiles have taught others to use to threaten people into professing Christianity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the fear of perishing that prompts
people in many cases to profess Christianity, the fear of perishing. That statement the Gentiles used as a threat to induce, to force others to profess Christianity. Now, understand me carefully. I'm not saying that the scripture as it is in the Bible is a threat. The Gentiles used this scripture and others, I will point out, to what? To coerce others into professing Christianity. And that you, and their use of scripture in doing that is not right. As the authoritative word has told us, their course, which is the Gentiles' course, which is that of Christianity, is evil, and their force, coercion, is not right. So that's John 3:16 is one statement the Gentiles use. Another statement is John 3:18, which says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay? There again you have the fear of condemnation. So in John 3, verses 16 and 18, the Gentiles use those statements to induce fear, fear of perishing, and fear of condemnation. Another threat, or another statement they use is this. John 3:36. All right. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Gentiles use these scriptures to induce others, to coerce others into professing Christianity. Another such statement they use is Mark 9. It comes from Mark 9. Okay, and that Mark 9 statement is let me read this. Starting with Mark 9:43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Another statement, or another scripture, another passage here, Mark 9:43 through 48. Which the Gentiles use, which they misuse and abuse, they use to coerce other people into professing Christianity. This is an evil, that doing of the Gentiles, this doing of the Gentiles in using this force of coercion to induce others to profess Christianity is an evil. It is not right. It is an evil. Now, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Another passage the Gentiles use. All right. Okay, Revelation 20. And let's see if I can read this here. Starting with verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Okay. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Another statement, another passage the Gentiles use to induce fear and cause others to profess Christianity. Another one, these are threats in the way the Gentiles use them. Remember, I'm not saying that as they are written in the Bible, they are threats, but in the way, in the manner the Gentiles use them, the Gentiles use them in a threatening manner. Understand that, please. Okay, another passage is this. 1 Corinthians 11:30. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly, and I could start above that. First Corinthians 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But when we are judged, verse 32, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Gentiles use this passage also. They misuse these passages. Remember that. They misuse and abuse these passages in doing what they do. Okay, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew 12, 36 says this. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Another statement. Another statement they use is 2 Corinthians 5:10. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. The Gentiles, these are statements the Gentiles have misused and abused to force people into professing Christianity. And I've said that misuse and abuse of Scripture by the Gentiles is not right. It is an evil. And remember this also, that the Gentiles have taught others to follow them in their evil, in other words, to do that which they do. So you have black ministers doing the same thing, misusing and abusing Scriptures, lying, putting fear into the bazaar, and their use of these things constitute threats. Okay? Their use constitutes threats. But in the Bible, the statements are not for that purpose. Understand that. Now, Luke 16:23-26. 23-26. Listen to this. Well, let me start at verse 19. Luke 16, starting with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Okay, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Another passage the Gentiles use, and the Gentiles have taught others to use also to accomplish there the Gentiles' evil desire. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Okay. And I won't read all of this because my time is going. Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. And it goes on. All right? Through verses 13. That's Matthew 25. Now, there's one also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Another passage which the Gentiles use, misuse and abuse. It says this, starting with verse 15. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it says, this, starting with verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, is thy victory. So I have presented to you statements which the Gentiles use, and their use of these statements in the manner that they use them, they are threats. The Gentiles use threats. All right? They use the element of threat to coerce people into professing Christianity, and that which they do in that regard is evil. It is not right. It is condemned by the law. And I read the statement which condemns it. Okay. Now, what have I done? This episode evidences my fulfillment of the will of the Lord as expressed in Acts 4:29, which says to me, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." I have beheld the Gentiles' threatenings. I have beheld their threats that they do, speeches and all that they give, and they present to people, and to get people to what? To conform, to adopt Christianity, to profess Christianity. And those professing Christianity are doing so under, or have done so under the threat, under the fear of being, under the fear of receiving an adverse judgment. They have done so under the threat, under the fear of going to hell. They have done so under the threat, under the fear of displeasing God. They have done so under the threat, under the fear of condemnation. They have done so under the threat, under the fear of being tormented. And that is it. As said, this episode evidences the things stated and brought forth in this episode evidence my fulfillment of the will of God as expressed in Acts 4:29, which is said to me, "And now, Lord, behold their threat." I have beheld there the Gentiles' threats. I have beheld their threats, you of it. Join me next time.